Welcome to Beauty for the Soul, sharing the secrets to finding the beauty and harmony within yourselves and the world around you. Now here's your host, Marjorie Rothstein.
Hello everyone and welcome to Beauty for the Soul. I'm so excited to share with you a spiritual teacher who has helped many people repair emotional and physical scars through her healing sessions and widely sought after workshops. Francine Vail is one of the most angelic people I've ever connected with on the planet. She truly, truly is the most giving, beautiful heart. And her memoir, Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Life, shares the story of how she came to learn what she was meant to do, to help others let go of fear and frustration and open their hearts to love and healing. And Francine's book shares the detailed experiences and passages that helped her to form the beautiful diamond that she is. So Francine, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to speak with you today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I was just wondering, why did you write the Song of the Heart, Walking Path of Light?
Why did I write it? Well, I had a feeling that I was going to be writing, and I wasn't really 100% sure. And then one morning I woke up, and I described this in the introduction, and I saw in a vision a field of golden light. And in that field was a book, and the cover of the book said Song of the Heart, and it was shining like golden light. And I knew from that was the book I was going to write. And I had the whole entire book in my head from the very first paragraph all the way to the end. I knew exactly what I was going to write. I could hardly write fast enough. And so you can just imagine, because it took me 14 months to finish, and I was working at the time, and I was just squeezing in the hours to write. So it was definitely some kind of a spiritual huge message that I received to write this book. And there were spiritual beings beside me when I was writing. I could feel them. I could feel the presence at my right arm while I was writing. And different ones came into different sections depending on what the topic was. So it was an amazing experience just putting this together.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to get through this with all the struggles and situations that you were going through for you and the details that you were able to connect with. It's just amazing to me. I could barely remember what I ate for dinner last night, and you have details. Really, it's just, now, did you ever do a journal to get this, or it just came through flooded in this sort of...
No, I did not record my life in a journal. What I did record in a journal were my spiritual experiences that I thought were just out of this world, amazing. That's what I wrote down, because I just was, you know, just, it's something when you have some of the experiences I've had, you know. So I did record those, but my life, I'm telling you, it was all embedded in my head, the conversations, memories, it all came back. I had bits and pieces of scraps of paper with letters and different things to help jar me, you know, the memory.
Yeah.
But most of it, once I would just sit down and write, I never had like a moment of writer's block. It was constantly flowing through. It was an amazing time for me. Amazing.
So in some ways, would you say that our experiences and through our eyes and all our senses are like a digital recorder of our whole life, almost like what people say when, you know, like that movie with Albert Brooks, I forgot the name of it, Defending Your Life, where you have a life review and you're able to see everything. It's almost like you had that.
We do, Marjorie. What we have is it goes into our cellular memory, and then we have something that I call emotional time. So when some event occurs down the road, to you that happened in the past, it will connect you to that past emotional event. So it's all there. Just your memories require triggers sometimes. We don't think about things until they're triggered. sometimes you could be doing body work, like a massage, or even exercising, and certain muscles are activated, or just tissue, parts of the body, the DNA, your cellular structure is activated, and memories will come flooding in. So what I was doing was I was accessing this in a coherent way, that when I think back on it, you know, that was 1989 that I was writing part one.
Yeah.
I think back on it, I'm blown away, but it's basically proof that everything we have lived through, every word we've spoken, every word that's been spoken to us is all recorded in our cellular structure. Pass that on to our children, our parents have passed
right,
on.
Right.
And this is really the big challenge that we have in this generation, is to heal all the ancient wounds, to say, I do not want to take it further. All the tribal pain and sorrow, I want to leave in the past, because we're moving into a new cycle now. And all the warfare and conflict and pain and misery and torture that our ancestors have gone through, that's in our cellular structure, we want to cleanse that out so that we can move into the new cycle with peace and love in our hearts and forgiveness, and just move into a new beautiful earth.
Wow, that could be like 100 radio shows to discuss that. Wow. Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, the life review is really, it's all there. It's in us. And in, beyond that, where I've been to the Crystal Library, that's what I call it. It might be the Akashic Records, but the way I see it, it's all crystal. The building is composed of crystal. Beautiful architecture from ancient Greece.
Mm.
And all the volumes are crystal. They're very large. And each one of us has everything that ever happened in a long stream of incarnations of our soul, which may not even be all on Earth, could be on other planets as well. It's all recorded in our own book of life. And when we are not here on Earth, when we are in the higher realms, we're able to access that. And even, you know, I shouldn't even limit it to that, because I was there and I'm still here. So I think that we can possibly go there in our dream time, or if we're guided there. So it's all recorded, everything, which leads me to say that one of the biggest teachings is to discipline our minds and our thoughts and our words, and know that before we speak those words and make them real in third dimension, we should be sure we're not causing harm. Our own thoughts could cause harm, you know, so we have to learn to be very careful of how we are living our lives here, with our energy, our words, our actions. Everything we do right now has tremendous implications. It always did, but now it seems to have greater implications, because we're coming to the end of this cycle.
And maybe the darkness, the shadow, is coming up so big because the light is so strong, and it's our time to overcome it, correct?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. The dark, you know, the light is always there. We are born, we are created from light and sound vibrations, and that's all love. Light and love are the same. We are created from love, which is light and sound vibrations. And so the dark has to work very hard to make itself known. And the only way they can make itself known is through human beings who are resonating at that level. So when we raise ourselves up and we say, I will never send a bad thought to another person again, because I could be causing them harm.
Right.
And I will never speak a bad word again. And if I do, I will make sure that I make restitution for it, to heal it right away. Because I don't want to bring negative energy into my world, into my life.
Right. And of course, we're hypnotized and bombarded with negativity all day long with the news media. You know, the more media we have, the more they get to spread the darkness. So
it's true. It's true. But we are strong enough to overcome that. this is the thing. I mean, we are not really victims at all. We are not helpless at all.
Right.
We are strong, powerful beings of light squeezed into this physical, fragile physical body that's prone to illness and accidents and all kinds of things that cause us, you know, minor and major pains. But we are actually very powerful beings. And when we're activated, I can tell you every single human being on the planet is capable of becoming what we call a healer.
Yeah.
What I do and what other people do, like I do, everyone can do. Every single person, every mother knows this. The simple thing of mm-hmm. picking up a crying baby, you pick up a crying baby and you soothe them. That's healing.
Yes.
If we took that time and trouble to embrace each other when each one of us is hurting, we could all heal one another easily.
Well, what about the whole law of attraction and Abraham Hicks and all that, you know, stuff and all those people? I mean, so much of that is so important, but it's almost impossible to block or stop those streams of negativity that have been programmed into us, you know, maybe from generations, and the negative thoughts. So how do you view that type of process?
Well, I think take the attitude. We all must assume a certain personal attitude. And if we assume the attitude that we do not want to be associated, we do not wish to attract another centimeter of negativity into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We wish to attract only love into our lives, only people that support us, that we feel good around.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take steps to make that a reality in our lives, so that if people come into our lives who are hurting us, I know myself in the past, and I'm sure a lot of people do this, we don't pay attention, or we think, oh, they just have a quirk, or, you know, I like them a lot, and they're a lot of fun, but down the road, that person's going to hurt us, because we know it. We all have our intuition.
Right.
And we know when somebody's going to hurt us. So we have to bring forth that strong, powerful light body that we truly are, and say no to that. Say no to that. No. And once you say no to that, other people will come into your life who are more resonating with what you desire. And so we have to let go of people that hurt us. We must let go of them, how hard it is to do. And I've done it, and it's painful, and it hurts. But once you get away from it, you say, oh, my God, how did I ever live with that, you know?
Well, I always get kind of confused. Like some people, teachers will say, well, you attracted that type of person into your life because you're stuck in this blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's always like either you made it all up and it's all a projection of your illusion of a holographic, you know, blah, blah, blah. So how do you speak to that kind of thing?
Oh, thank you for asking that question, because I get upset when people are told that they're to blame for certain things in their lives that are very unpleasant. I just don't buy into that. I don't believe that we are to blame for any of that. I think we are all here to interact with one another, and by our relationships, we evolve. And we have to fight against the negative teachings of our society. Things, and that's why there are so many divorces. We see divorce as a bad thing because we've been programmed, but to see it as a bad thing because we take a marriage vow to death do we part. Oh my God. And that's why so many women suffered in the past, because till death do they part. So the person they were with was so negative toward them that they died. All right.
Yeah,
so,
they die, and the woman gets to go off and have a torture someone else.
Whichever way it goes, you know, women in olden times died in childbirth or too many children or different, you know, women were more prone to those kinds of ailments of weakness and so on. To this day, women suffer from childbirth.
Yeah.
Today we have health coverage that helps us. We understand how to make ourselves healthier. But getting back to the question, I think that we are here to interact with all types of people and learn from it. I think the important thing is, hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Yeah, the important thing is that when we recognize that something isn't right for us, we've outgrown that dynamic, that we just move on and leave it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's what we have to do. It could be a friend that's upsetting us. It could be a cousin. It could be anybody. We have to just say, I've had enough of that. I no longer wish to be hurt. And as we take those steps, we move away from the dynamic of staying in the presence of people who hurt us. Because, you know, when we're hurt, we start, our immune system, first of all, becomes compromised.
Yes.
Our energy level drops.
Right.
We feel bad about ourselves. We could start doing things that hurt ourselves, like drink too much or take drugs or sleep too much or get, you know, just lose our enthusiasm when we're put down too often. So
yeah.
It's really unhealthy for us.
Right.
And once we start surrounding ourselves with people who support us and who like us and laugh when we say funny things and share our joys, that builds and we start to become more of our true authentic self. That's what I try to open
right.
people up to. Becoming your true authentic self. A true expression of your soul.
That's
and
beautiful.
Now we have all different ways of finding out who we really are, you know, with the explosion of enlightenment that's available.
Well, can you speak about the emotional and psychological issues that keep people from expressing their soul's potential?
That keeps people from, what was that?
Expressing their soul's potential. Some of the psychological and emotional issues.
The issues that keep us from expressing our soul potential.
Yes.
Are whatever brings us down.
Yeah.
So say there's a child who wants to be an artist, and the child's parents say, "Why? You will never make any money as an artist." They don't understand the art the child is producing, and they encourage the child to become a professional. Okay, that person is now doing something that is not their soul's potential.
Right.
They're doing something that they may be very good at, but it doesn't mean that they could even be very successful, make a lot of money. But it does not mean that they are expressing their true soul's potential. So as they get older and maybe they retire, now they have more free time, they start to do artwork. And they start to discover, oh my dear, I look at this. People start admiring their work, and they discover in a later time in their life their true soul's potential. But all the other years, they were not expressing it. So this is what happens in our society. Because of economics, we are often steered away from expressing our true soul potential. And also society, you know, in my time when I was younger, it was all about girls getting married.
Right.
That's what you did. You had to get married young and have a family. And before you knew who you were and what your own soul's potential was. So you became a mom and a wife, and many thousands and millions of women devoted their lives to being housewives. And
right.
that became a demeaning title.
Right.
You know, so... You know, yeah, we are evolving. We are in the process of evolution right now, major, major evolution. And we have to give ourselves, you know, some credit and not be down on ourselves for whatever we perceive as errors or mistakes. I've certainly, you know, I could certainly tell myself I made mistakes, but I choose to say to myself, I learned from those relationships, I learned from those friendships, I learned from everything I did in my life. So I can't really call it a mistake. You
well,
know, we are going to come back again, and we'll come back with greater wisdom. Whatever we accrued in this lifetime will be part of our cellular structure for the next lifetime.
Yeah, I was just going to put, you know, Bernie Siegel did the foreword to your book, and wow, what an honor. And he shares some of his personal experiences. And at the end, he said, I believe it is the unconscious awareness which we each are impregnated with when we are born So I do not believe we literally live many lives, but that we bring with us the experience of previous lives. Thus, the wiser we get, the better the future will be for those who follow us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are different ways of looking at reincarnation. I mean,
right.
We, in third dimension, we are living in linear time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we have our history recorded, in linear time. However, in actuality, when we begin to really open up to our true soul potential, we begin to learn that we are, in fact, multidimensional beings. We can begin to see that even in third-dimensional linear time because we dream. We sleep and we dream. And we've been taught that the dreams are nothing but imagination, but our dreams could actually be travels to other parts of ourselves.
Right.
That are living other lives at the same exact time that we are here. And we meet people who are in those other lives, and we have similar relationships, or it could be different. We could have an acrimonious relationship here in third dimension because this is the lowest level of sentient being. Whereas in a higher dimension, we could be living a blissful life with that person because we, in that dimension, we've already overcome these lower dimensional
right.
issues.
Right.
They no longer exist. And when we recognize that, we can actually say, oh my goodness, there's no reason to be angry at anybody. We're all seeing each other here through five senses.
Right.
When we actually have limitless senses, we can see 360 degrees when we're in our light body.
Wow.
You know, I had an experience where I was in my light body on another planet, and I was able to look at myself. I was actually able to see myself as if I was looking at myself
mm-hmm.
when I was in that form. I don't know how that happened, except that I could just have been extending my consciousness
right.
in that light body that's not confined by physical body to see myself. So I saw my face. I saw my face as a golden light body. So we can't even imagine the wonder, the miraculous way that we exist. It's only here that we're, it's like a program. You can call it mind control. We're so programmed
uh-huh.
generation after generation to live in misery and torment and to think that all we have is war. That's just a myth
huh.
to think that people have to fight. There's no reason for us to fight about anything.
Oh.
We just think that we have to fight. We think that's the only way to come to, but you actually never come to an agreement by fighting.
Well, I don't.
You only come to an agreement by opening up to one another and learning to see one another truly and learning to appreciate, respect, honor, and love one another. Then we resolve all conflict.
Right. Well, so many people
love someone. It doesn't matter whether they're on your land, what you call your land, or you're on theirs. It doesn't matter because you appreciate and love them.
Well, yes, that's so beautiful. So many people are becoming awakened to all this. And, you know, even though the media keeps grinding and sending out all this negative stuff, and it seems like we've been in a war forever, you know, even though we don't call it a war, we're over there doing it. So, yeah, there's so many people awakening. Yeah.
I think all the wars and all the conflicts that have been to us, and now we get it in real time, and it's
yeah.
scary and downright frightening,
mm-hmm.
And all the threats that come through
mm-hmm.
are frightening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all of that actually affects our actions. You have children growing up now, for instance, who do not know what it's like to live in a world without computers, without
right.
technology.
Right.
They don't know the silence of that world.
Mm.
So they respond to life slightly differently than their grandparents do.
Right.
They wouldn't dare go out of the house without being connected
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that's part of life and it's all day long. So someone like me or you might want to just wish we didn't have our cell phones. We take it, but we can turn it off. You know, we want that silence. We want to return to having some peace and quiet. You know, so that when you have peace and quiet, you can contemplate, think, and even contact your higher self, your spirit guides, your guardian angels, It's hard to do that when you're plugged in.
There's so much wireless technology and ELFs, and we're just being bombarded with all kinds of electronic frequencies all day long, and it's almost impossible. And maybe you go to I don't know anywhere on the planet where you're not being affected by that, even without your cell phones and without your computers. It's just,
It's true. And additionally, I think it affects us in the way we are toward each other.
Yeah.
So that people can become more robotic to each other rather than being open and loving.
Mm-hmm.
We are human beings. We are mammals. We have hearts and souls. We are designed to love one another. We are actually designed to help one another. We function at our highest when we are helping others and when people are helping us. That's how we are designed to function. So when we are involved in a life that is telling us all the time that we are separate and arguing and conflict and saying nasty things and not believing anything anyone says, but calling everything everyone says into question and doubting everything what they do on television.
Yeah.
Or we turn on the TV and everyone, no one believes a word that anyone else says. So the liar and the truth speaker are totally equal because nobody is believed, you know, because there's so much misinformation. I mean, things like that bring us into a place of chaos, you know, and then we begin to doubt ourselves. And I think it just affects us negatively. If we just could unhook ourselves from that, turn it all off and just be with each other as we were designed to be, we could be in peace if we were left alone.
Yeah.
You know,
Arianna Huffington, who's, you know, still mainstream, she had a whole moratorium of letting go of your electronics for a day or so or a couple of days. I think she probably went off to some 5-star hotel or resort somewhere and did it, but she inspired others to do that sometime last year. And I thought that was interesting, because, you know, she's pretty conscious, but compared to, you know, she's still mainstream with her publication. And I thought that was really encouraging.
Yes, it is. It's very encouraging. And I'm sure that she felt healthier for it and was able to get back to herself.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
When we're so bombarded, at the end of the day, it's like, whoa, it's like we have all these other pieces of everybody else. All the negativity inside us, and we have to get cleanse that out before we can even have a peaceful night's sleep. And what are we doing before we go to sleep? We're listening to the latest news reports and,
yeah,
you know, getting ourselves agitated, where it's so much better to meditate.
Well,
I like to meditate before I go to sleep.
You know, I have a whole another show to talk about all this with you about aspiring spiritual knowledge and what kind of practices that you engage in regularly. So we're going to have to schedule another talk. But thank you so much, Francine. You are just such a delight. And I just want to let everyone know that if you're interested in learning more, you can visit Francine's website or purchase her book, Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. And we'll have the links for you. And do you ever do any private consultations or healings? Because maybe you could do some stuff on Skype or over the phone for people.
Oh, I do distant healings all the time, every day. I do distant healings. And people can go to my website, my personal website, FrancineVale.com. And through the website, you can get in touch with me if you'd like to. You can buy the book on the website as well and see some other writings, messages from light beings. That's for humanity right now. But all my healings, basically, except for when I'm with people, they line up to get healings, are distant, because the distant healings work just as well as in person. You know, it's all consciousness.
Right.
Consciousness is everything. Consciousness,
right,
everything. And when you discipline your consciousness, there's nothing that you can't accomplish.
Wow. Well, I want to say thank you again. I hope everybody enjoyed this. And thank you all for being a part of Beauty for the Soul, and we look forward to sharing another show with you in the near future. Thank you, Francine.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Beauty for the Soul with Marjorie Rothstein. For archived shows, downloads, and full guest bios, please visit fmgradio.com/beautyforthesoul. That's beauty, B-E-A-U-T-Y, 4, T-H-E-S-O-U-L.